To hear from God's word, and Mark Mobley is going to come preach this morning. Mark's been a member of Christchurch for many years, and you know, as we seek to work out how God wants to serve us, God leads in all sorts of ways. And Mark, on top of running a business, full-time job, being a husband and dad and everything, is a volunteer prison chaplain a whole day a week, plus some Sundays we don't see him because he's around with the service there. So it's a massive commitment, and he's exploring, as you'll know from the church meeting, he's exploring God's call and what is opening out for him at the moment. So it's a real joy and a privilege to have Mark come at the start of a series as we help work towards Easter. So Mark, come on out. Let's give him a warm Christchurch welcome. Yeah. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Father, Mark's already preached once this morning, so come now again. Fill him afresh with your spirit and your truth, and refresh him, even as he brings your word to us now, in Jesus' name. Open our hearts, our minds, and may your love settle upon us, just as we've sung, in a very deep and profound way, we pray, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
As Andrew mentioned, I'm used to preaching to about 80 guys on a Sunday morning. And I've got to say, I actually find you a far scarier bunch than all of them. So bear with me. In the prison, what you see is what you get. Often they hold back very little of themselves. For many, their brokenness has already been brought into the light for everyone to see. But if we're honest, in church, we can be tempted to put up masks, hiding our doubts, insecurities, and even our own deepest inner brokenness. So I want to ask this morning, in reality, who are you and who am I? This morning, we're starting a three-week series as we lead up to Easter called Cross-Shaped Living. This is about submitting to God's way as we follow Jesus, the way the cross shapes our values and outlook and how we live our lives. Today, we're looking at cross-shaped identity, how we can submit to God out of the deep love he has for each of us. In truth, we can spend our lives trying to answer the question, who am I? But all too often, we might look inside ourselves to others and the world around us as we try to answer the question. It reminds me of the Bourne Identity films, where the lead character, Jason Bourne, has forgotten who he is and is desperately searching for answers. He frantically hunts for clues and hints of who he is, piecing together the facts from what he has done and what others are telling him. For us too, we can so often go searching for who we are in the wrong places, when instead we should be turning to God, because he is the one who made us. He knows who we are. But since Adam and Eve, the devil has been twisting and confusing God's words, trying to make people doubt who they really are. He tried it with Jesus, and he tries it with us today. And we're going to think about the ways that the devil does this and how we can overcome his lies by looking at the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Sometimes we might think it was easy for Jesus to resist temptation because he was the Son of God. He doesn't really understand what it is to face the temptations we face. But it's important to remember that Jesus was tempted as fully human. C.S. Lewis says about Jesus resisting temptation in Mere Christianity that only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. After all, you find out the strength of an army by fighting against it, not by giving in. You find out the strength of the wind by trying to walk against it, not by lying down. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. He is the only complete realist. So Jesus knows more fully than us the true extent of what it means to push back against temptation, including when it comes to our identity, the very core of who God says you are. And Dimple is now going to come up and he's going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. If you have a Bible with you or you have access to one on your phone, then please do feel free to turn to it now. My hope is that by the end of today, you'll be able to walk out of here with a greater sense of who God has made you to be.
Today's Bible reading. The reading is from Book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point on the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him.
Thank you very much. Although the temptations that the devil placed before Jesus have connections to his ministry, they are also directed towards Jesus as a human in relationship to God, towards who he is. And I heard the theologian Henry Nguyen describe the devil as tempting us to answer the question, "Who am I?" in a couple of ways. And to paraphrase him, these are through our actions or by what others think of us. And I'll talk about these this morning, but before doing so, I'm sure you noticed that Jesus responded to the devil by quoting scripture. And there is a verse that we need to hold on to as we go through these points, as it is the truth of who Jesus is, who you are, and who I am as followers of Jesus. Before our reading, Jesus was baptized in the verse before God the Father said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And know that God says to each of us here this morning that trust in him, you are my son or daughter whom I love. You are a loved child of God. You may have heard this phrase numerous times over many, many years, but we all need to be reminded to claim and live out this truth regularly. God, your Father, calls you his child. When you begin a relationship with God, you don't just become his friend, you become his child. God delights in you and wants the best for you. He wants to fill your life with joy and blessings. So we need to hold on to that truth whilst we look at ways in which we might lose sight of this and replace it with lies about who we are. Initially, he tempts Jesus by saying, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. If you are truly the Son of God, prove it. Do something. End your own suffering. Make a difference in this world." We too can be tempted by the devil to prove who we are by our actions. It's unlikely to be turning stones into bread. Instead, it could be through our jobs, our hobbies, our pleasures, even our serving of God. As Christians, the temptation to prove who we are through serving can be powerful. We can hear the gentle whisper in our own ears saying, "If you are a child of God, then prove it." Sowing doubt and uncertainty in our hearts about who we are. As with many of the devil's mutterings, there are elements of truth within them. After all, our faith should result in good works. Jesus does call us to love one another and to serve one another. But the ways in which we serve are not who we are. They are the natural outpouring of our love for God and others that comes from knowing that we are a loved child of God. It's so easy to lose sight of this, and when we do, serving can become a burden, a heavy weight on our shoulders, gradually slowing us down. If this is you today, then I would encourage you to spend some time this week reflecting on God's love already shown to you through Jesus. Think of those moments when God has acted in the past. Make space to allow God's love for you to wash over you and renew your heart this week. But maybe rather than serving, you answer the question, "Who are you?" through your job or hobbies. Maybe it's the music you create or play, the books or articles you've written, how good you are at cycling, football, or running. It's not that these are wrong or bad in themselves. In fact, quite the opposite. They are so often God-given gifts for fulfilling our purposes for our own lives, our families, and our wider communities. But even good things can take the place of God in our hearts. If they become so essential to who you are that without it, you would be totally lost, worthless, confused about your identity, then it's likely they've become the way you answer the question, "Who are you?" However, sometimes our actions aren't God-given and are destructive for us and others around us. And yet we can still answer the question, "Who am I?" through these. Maybe you're basing the core of your identity on destructive habits. Maybe it's being known for inappropriate jokes. Maybe too many drinks at the weekend. Or building a secret identity or habit online. You could fill in the gap. But once we've created an identity for ourselves out of our actions, it can be challenging to change it. I remember someone saying to me after I came out of prison many years ago, "Mark, you're a thief. That is just who you are. Stop trying to be someone else." Maybe for some here today, you could replace thief with a label that others have given you based on your actions. I remember hating hearing those words, as I knew in my heart that what I'd been doing was not who I was. Because when we have turned to God, trusting in Jesus, he sees us as his son or daughter whom he loves. When we know that who we are does not come from our actions, but from being a loved son or daughter of God, it brings freedom from trying to earn the love of God, others, and even ourselves. So know that when the Father looks at those in Christ, he doesn't see us through our own actions, but through Jesus's perfect actions. He says, "This is my child with whom I am well pleased. You and I are pleasing to God." When we allow the truth of our status with God to become the very core of our being, it changes our actions so that they might become a response to his overflowing love for us. It brings the freedom to genuinely love God and others as we know we are truly loved ourselves. It brings the freedom to follow God's way rather than temptation. But our actions aren't the only way we try to answer the question, who am I? It can also be through what others think of us. And so going back to the temptation story from verse 5, the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple, saying to him, if he was the Son of God, then he could throw himself down, for it is written that the angels will protect him. Jesus jumping from the highest point of the temple and God sending his angels to intervene would have been a powerful miracle. This miracle would have undoubtedly led others to think that Jesus was truly the Son of God. And what others think of us can be so powerful. When we do things, we'll want recognition and respect from others for doing it. And when people say good things about us, we feel great, proud, and our sense of who we are becomes secure. But when we hear of someone talking about us negatively, we can feel rejected, hurt, maybe even angry. Why? Because we're basing who we are on what others think about us. And so when this is no longer good, it ruins our day and strips us of our status. Negative comments could be anything from the way that we talk, behave, or look. And a while ago, I went out for a meal with my wife and children to celebrate my 40th birthday. And my daughter felt it important to tell the waitress that we were out to celebrate my birthday. And so the waitress confidently came up to the table and congratulated me on turning 50. A little while later, a second waitress came up and wished me a happy 30th. But by then, the damage was already done. Maybe you can think of times recently when your sense of identity has been challenged. Or you thought others were respecting you and you've heard someone has been talking about you behind your back, whether true or not, and this has left you feeling rejected, hurt, or angry. However, it doesn't always have to be others talking about us negatively to shatter our sense of how others perceive us. It can be anything that challenges our self-created view of who we are. As a chaplain in a local prison, when I walk around the jail, I often get told I look like police or CID. And this was definitely not the image I'd intended to give off. At first, when I started hearing these comments, it threw me, as I certainly wasn't expecting anyone to think of me in that way. But now I'm okay with it. And in reality, it's a great conversation starter. When in our heart we know that we are a loved son or daughter of God, what others think of us becomes less important. As what truly matters is what our Heavenly Father thinks of us, and we know the answer. We are loved. However, we can be tempted to shrug off his love because we are too sinful, too unworthy, too broken. But know this, that God's love for us comes before anything we have done or failed to do. As it says in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, God showed his love for us in that whilst we were sinners, Christ died for us. If this applied when we were rejecting God, how much more does it apply now that we've turned back to him? So know that God sees you and loves you, and he has shown his love for you by sending his son Jesus to die for you so that you might be reconciled back to him as his loved and treasured child. God's love for us is a transformative power that can heal the brokenness of our lives. Experiencing the gracious love of God bursting into every aspect of our lives changes us. Instead of withdrawing from others when they disrespect us or talk about us behind our backs, we have a desire to share God's love with them so that they can experience it too. We'll want to show Jesus's character of compassion, kindness, and patience to others, even when it might not seem deserved, or doing so might make us appear weak or a pushover. So to close, when we try to answer the question, who am I, through our actions or through what others think of us, and these are going well, then I feel great. Life is good. I'm a success. I finally feel like I know who I am. I feel like I have answered the question. But as soon as these things go badly and we're no longer able to do the things we truly love, or others talk about us negatively, we plummet emotionally and struggle to make sense of who we are. Instead, the knowledge that God loves you as his beloved child needs to sink deep down into the very core of your heart. Because when you do, this truth will change your relationship to everything else. The fluctuations between emotional highs and lows become less extreme. Yes, we'll still mess up. Others will still talk about us negatively, maybe even more so than before. But no longer will these define who you are. When we're doing things, it is in the knowledge that God loved us first. When others challenge us, it doesn't cut us deep. As we already know that our Heavenly Father, what our Heavenly Father thinks of us, as we take hold of this cross-shaped identity, we are freed to follow the way of Jesus. So who are you? You are a child of God whom he loves. And we all need to remember and live out this truth every day. So I'm going to leave a pile of cards on the table at the back with the scripture and reference on it. Please grab one as you leave. You could place it somewhere you'll see it regularly to help remind you each day that you are a loved child of God.